follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard. We're live in downtown Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino is a spot. We'll set the show coming up in a second. It's rare, if ever, that we're coming on the heels of a game that finishes right before we come on the air, especially something as dramatic as that, especially when Olympic gold is at up in the air, Pauly. And that goal, USA women won it 2-1 in overtime, skating 3-on-3, as they do when it goes to the extra stanza. They take home gold.
How do you feel about that?
I don't like the 3-on-3.
You don't?
I don't like the 3. Not for the whole period. We need one full period of regular 5-on-5 hockey.
That is a polarizing topic.
Oh, sure.
I think 3-on-3 overtime is like ultimate X bonus streak. I think it's crack, but do you want to decide a gold medal like
that? No, I wouldn't. See, I would go at least one full period 5-on-5, and then you can cut it down to do it. But that goal by Megan Keller in overtime, and USA, they were dead and buried in this game, and they got one way late. They knotted up at one apiece, but that goal is going to be shown 1,000 times in the next hour and a half. Over and over and over again. That's a 10 out of 10 goal from Megan Keller.
Yeah.
And now she is going to go down as an Olympic hero from now until the end of time. If that's a man doing that this like tomorrow or on Sunday for the men's gold medal game, or if that's a Connor McDavid or whomever doing it in the Stanley Cup playoffs, that's going to be shown as one of the most iconic goals ever. I can't get over how great that was for her to be able to the move and then to put it in past the goalie. Come on, that's insane.
That's also would have been an historic upset.
Oh yeah,
Canada was 4-1 to win the game at one point early on. USA had outscored their opponents 31-1 in the tournament. They beat Canada 5-0 earlier. They beat Canada 29-7 the last five and had beat them 7 in a row. You know, this is where we could use Jimmy Vaccaro about 1980. USA against Russia. I don't remember how big of a dog we were, but this certainly would have been a monumental upset if Canada was able to get it done. And you can't give up the shorthanded goal. I mean, again, you only give up one for the whole tournament, but you're on the power play and you give up a shorthanded goal, and could have been the difference.
Yep.
But you score, and it turned out to be a bad beat as well because it was 1-0 with less than 2 minutes. USA ties it, sends to overtime. It is the fifth straight game to go to overtime in the Olympics now, men and women. And then they get the, as you said, an incredible all-time goal by Keller and are able to avoid the choke job.
So when you're watching that whole game, and let's take it, you could go almost like period by period. At the end of the first period, USA was still higher than a $3 favorite to win the game. Did it feel to you after watching the first 20 minutes like they were...
No difference, yes.
Oh, I thought they maybe even outplayed a little bit in the first period.
Yeah.
Now, because the first period ended with USA on a power play, like you referenced there, and it was only like for the first 14 seconds, I'm like, in the three-way market, I like, okay, I think they can win the second period. And I played them minus 110, I believe. Now, you had to try to avoid the push. You hope Canada didn't win, obviously. I played them in the three-way at minus 110, thinking, okay, they have the edge here, big time to begin the period. And then the shorthanded happens, and then they can't lose the bet. And then they come back in the third. They get one late when it matters most, and then to score
the
like that.
Yeah. But at no point did they look like a $4 or $5 favorite
ever in that match.
No, it was. They certainly don't look like the team that won 5-0. So they only had two great opportunities in overtime, and then she cashes in on the second one. The other one was a wrist shot that was a glove saved by the Canadian goalie. But that they certainly looked like equal teams, and they also got the benefit of a lot of power plays late, and they couldn't cash in. So that was Canada was right there. They were game. That's why you got to play the game. No hypothetical crap.
Yeah.
We do too much of this, especially in college football. Well, if they play this team on a neutral, you got to play the game. And you know, to be outscored 31-1 and dominate your opponents, and you thought it was just going to be a walkover and a cakewalk, anything but. And they were fortunate to win.
Plus, the puck line moved all the way up to 2.5 in the game.
Oh.
At some spots.
Yeah.
And so they were taking money. They expected, you know, the betting market expected USA to roll in this gold medal match, and they never got it done. So that will lead us into the games tomorrow. USA is leading, laying 1,000 in their match. Canada is a $4 favorite or higher than that, actually.
That's come down.
Yeah.
USA down, yeah. $9 was too much. $8, that was too much.
And then if we do get USA and Canada in the gold medal game,
yeah,
that's going to catch people by surprise, if for those who have not seen it yet. That is about an 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern time start on Sunday morning. 5 o'clock out here in the West Coast. And then the weird thing, like, I don't mind it. I love, that's part of the charm, I think, is like waking up no matter where you live when you get Olympic sports. And if you got to set the alarm for 3 o'clock in the morning, so be it. You're going to watch them play. But I think just people are going to forget about it. And the weird part about it is they play the bronze medal match way later in the day.
Yeah, our Saturday, our time, and that's backwards to me.
Yeah. Also, the betting handle is going to get dinged because people are going to wake up on both coasts saying, I can't wait to bet this. Oh, hold on, it started when? It's over?
Uh-huh. It's not that moment that you want that everyone's around the TV watching. The 5 a.m. Pacific, 6 a.m. Midwest time really hurts you with that start time Sunday. Unfortunate, but that's because it's match wind up here where every USA game's been going around noon Pacific time.
Yeah, right.
How it's worked out.
I am a big Olympic basketball guy. It's tough to beat Olympic hockey.
Oh, it delivers.
It's
like
automatic.
The first round of the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
It always delivers. And it has done it again. To have back-to-back-to-back overtimes yesterday. And Canada, will you stop with this? This is the best team since 1987. That team had Gretzky and Lemieux. What are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
And they almost lost. So it, certainly when the pressure's involved and it's squeaky bum time, you find out what you're made of. And that's, again, upsets happen. And, Finland, you can't count them out. They were dead and buried, down 2-0. They were 50-1 to win it. They're the defending champs. And I think they're going to have problems scoring. But certainly I wouldn't be surprised if we see an upset tomorrow in the semis.
Here's what's coming up on the show today. Mackenzie Rivers in 30 minutes. Very good on the NBA. He's going to have a breakdown on betting tanking teams in the association as that sport resumes tonight with a full card, which we're going to dive into. Steve Wiss, best bets in soccer a little bit later on. We have college basketball reaction. We have some MLB bets. We got best and worst teams covering numbers in the NBA. In college basketball, some ROI numbers on the NHL as well. Win-lose coming up in about 40 minutes, give or take. Do you concur on the program today as well? Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio as well. I will say that going in, Bill Ady had a good breakdown yesterday in the newsletter, Paulie. College basketball games with a total of 180 or more. This year, they were 10-3 to the under. Last night's game, Arkansas and Alabama, it got dicey there at the end because you still needed points late, but that was trending with a total of 200 throughout pretty much the entire game. And then because of the overtimes, it went flying over the total. That was a great game last night. When I'm watching the game, I'm checking some of these prediction markets. And I tried to get down on Darius Acuff to be a top 10 pick last night. He was at 54%. So when I made the bet, it actually locked it in at 61%. And it went as high as 76 after the game was over with. He had 49 last night. In what world is Darius Acuff not a top 10 pick? What has to happen to the guy?
Yeah.
He's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
I get it, the whole freshman class is, but that was an awesome game. I don't trust Alabama, though, as far as I could throw him.
Yeah. I was going to make the case for UConn today. Then the Creighton game happened.
Yeah.
But now it might be the Michigan Invitational that they found their game. And before we went on vacation, we said, get ready, because this is the brutal stretch for Arizona. Now they've lost two games, and they struggle against BYU and couldn't cover a big number. So it appears there's a big gap between Michigan now and everyone else, and still Arizona's got a great team. But as Joe Lunardi has talked about, the gap between the one seeds and the two seeds is significant. And what's going to happen here with Michigan will get one, Duke will get one, Arizona will get one, and UConn vomited on themselves yesterday as a 15-point favorite.
Yeah, now that fourth one, I think, is completely up for grabs. I will give you this about Michigan, because they had another great game against Purdue, and they get Duke this weekend. So right now, their net rating is plus 39.33 at KenPom, and I'm only using KenPom's numbers going back in his database. It goes all the way back to 1997. Michigan is currently the second best net rating ever in the history of KenPom's numbers. The highest number ever was the 1999 Duke team. That was plus 43. I mean, they were on another planet, plus 43.01. The 2025 Duke team, third highest, right behind Michigan, plus 39.29. The 01 Duke team, plus 37 and change. The 2015 Kentucky team, that was 38-0 going to the Final Four. They were almost plus 37. and the undefeated Gonzaga game in the national title game in 2021, they were plus 36.5. One of those teams I just mentioned won the entire thing. That was it. 99 Duke came up short. Last year's Duke team came up short. 2015 Kentucky, undefeated, going to the Final Four, lost. 2021 Gonzaga going to the national title game, undefeated as well, lost, wasn't particularly close. How about that? So
were they dogs in that game?
Gonzaga?
Yeah.
No, I think they were six.
Against Baylor?
Yeah.
Oh, come wow.
No, because Gonzaga was undefeated.
Well, Baylor was a freight train.
Oh, they were
amazing.
They were. Yeah. People would start. Still, that's one of the best Big 12 teams we've ever had, that Baylor team. But I couldn't believe it going back and looking, trying to put like Michigan's current numbers into perspective. Yeah. Only one team in the top six, going all the way back to 1999 per Ken Pom numbers, won the entire thing. I was startled by that.
Yeah, yeah.
Tough to do.
I know, it's hard. I know. To win six in a row, that's right. Anything can happen.
Yep.
Especially you're going to have a bad 10 minutes, the other team's bombing from three, or a choke job like what happened with Duke. And certainly Kentucky choked too.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Calipari lost his mind in that game. The entire team did for the most part. So we're live in Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Good to be back from vacation. So much to get into on today's program. You can always hit us up on X at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, and at Paulie Howard. The second half of the NBA season begins tonight, and there is a loaded card to bet on. We'll give you an angle that has hit nearly 60% of the time over the last 5 years, specifically on tonight's card coming up.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
As we were talking about in the previous segment, NBA returns tonight. It's a heavy slate of games to bet on as well. And a slew of these teams in action tonight are part of the nine teams that are tanking, you think, in theory anyway, moving forward for the rest of the season. So what is the approach here? Mackenzie Rivers joins us in studio. You can follow him on X at Mackenzie Rivers, and he is with BetterDay.com, where he had a great breakdown from tracking this the other day over past several years. Mackenzie, great to see you. Great to meet you. Thanks for coming to studio today. How are
you? Thanks, Mitch. Thanks for having me on. Doing great. I'm great to have the second half of the season. You know, a lot of people say this is the hardest time to bet a year. I've had the most success because you have more data, and I think you can eliminate some teams that are just in a different category than they usually are this time of year.
Okay, so then that's the success with betting sides? Or betting total specific. We're going to dive into totals, but you specifically have had.
I've had more success later in the year, in the 5 years I've been a professional handicapper.
Yeah. Okay, all right. And that is that because you want to focus on teams that are in theory wanting to like either sit guys in the fourth quarter, they're doing whatever they can to lose games. That's factored in.
I think in general you want more data rather than less. And if you're a team guy, if you're a players guy, then you can look in the summer and say these guys are going to come together in this kind of way. I'm more of a team guy, a trend guy, so more data is better. And I think that's amplified by the fact that all the numbers that say this is a good team trending in the right direction is more important now if you're facing a team that's trending in the wrong direction because they have incentive to keep trending in that direction and even more so.
So your article's fantastic. How to attack this as well, because we've never seen this before. There are nine teams tanking, and they were starting before the All-Star break. You also had the commissioner come out and fine a couple teams.
Yes.
A general manager told Bobby Marks of ESPN.com, I'll hand the league a blank check right now. If I have to pay $5 million in fines to get the top one, I don't care.
Right.
So that shows you where it's like, oh, fine us all we want. I don't care.
Yeah, the day that the Jazz got fined $500,000 for a second violation, it was exactly a year ago they got their first fine for not playing guys and losing game on purpose. Ace Bailey, their lottery draft pick this year, threw the ball off the glass, dunked it, amazing play. They lost by 30. Actually, I think they might have won that game, but My point is that play, that highlight, him throwing the ball off the glass. Hey, this is a 19-year-old that's going to get better, that's doing things we've never seen a guy in Utah do before. That's worth $500,000. That play alone. Just the amount of tickets they're going to sell and social media revenue that they're going to get, $500,000 is a drop in the bucket. It's almost telling the rest of the league, hey, you guys got to be doing this stuff. It's working that well that the league is scared of.
Do you do a lot of live betting this time of year as well?
Yes. I think live betting is an excellent opportunity because teams go up all the time with the style of play they do now. 45% of the league shots are threes. 10 years ago, it was 22%. It was twice as much. So a team getting up 10 points just doesn't mean that much. It just means they had a little bit of a running streak. So if I think this team's losing, if I think this team has a bad matchup, early game leads are often the best time to jump in.
Yeah, and I would say this time of year as well, when one of these bad teams could be hot early and you can get a much better number than on the favorite and think, okay, well, first of all, that shooting is probably going to come back to the mean a little bit here.
Right.
And oh, by the way, they might sit their guys later on third quarter, fourth quarter, when this team that I want to bet on, the favorite before it started, wants to win their game. So that could be an opportunity to hop in.
I think it's an opportunity to bet on the favorite. I also think it's an opportunity to bet on the total because both teams in that advantage have that point where one team wants to lose that's up, it's bad, mm-hmm. and one team that's down. They both want to play super fast. They want more possessions where that real differential between the teams has an opportunity to shine through. So if you looked at, like, I think the cutoff is 35% winning percentage is what I made. Those teams are not trying to make the play-in. If you're around 40%, you're trying to make the play-in, eighth seed, whatever. If you're underneath that point and you're playing someone that desperately wants to win, both teams want to play super fast in the second half and allow that early game lead to matter less and less. So that's I think, the best place to jump in.
I love the breakdown. Again, Mackenzie Rivers with us, betterday.com. The point was, when a bad team and 35% or yeah. less with the winning percentage is taking on a good team that wants to make the playoffs and they have a much better winning percentage, the more possessions that you play in a game by playing fast means it's the better chance you're going to have to lose that game because you're right. not as good at scoring points per possession. And if you add another 10 possessions per game, for example, there's a better chance you're going to lose it outright.
If you're playing Phil Ivey in a poker tournament and it was timed, do you want 10 minutes against them or 2 hours against them or 24 hours against them? I'll take the 10 minutes and hope to get a runner and try to make something happen. So that's the philosophy if you want to win. If you want to lose, if you're trying to go and play Phil Ivey and lose a poker game, take on 12 hours. Take on as many possessions, as many opportunities for that differential to show itself. And you could also say, hey, my guys are scoring more points per game. They have more opportunities. That actually does help their development to play fast. Mm. John Hollinger has a great statistic where turnovers as a rookie is one of the best leading metrics to how good you're going to be eventually. So that's on a player basis, but on a team basis, playing fast, making mistakes, it's all good unless you care about winning, which they don't. They actually do, but they want to lose.
Do these fit tonight then? Cavs, Nets, Orlando, and Sacramento
yes,
over?
Both of those fit the system. I like Sacramento over more because the Magic have been a lot less defensive-oriented recently okay. As they're dealing with injuries. And the Kings got rid of not one but two of their highest-paid players in Sabonis and LaVine. Mm-hmm. So all these guys that make the league that are not all-stars, they have no half-court game. They have no, like, all right, it's a half-court, let me break down, let me Jokic it, let me see. All they know is, if I hit 40% of the threes, I'm going to earn myself a second contract. Mm-hmm. So they get down the floor and they fire up shots. The Bucks are another great example where outside of Giannis, the rest of their team shoots 53% of their shots from three. They have no other options. So when Giannis is out, and I think they're going to tank the rest of the season if they can, try to get him to play less, all those guys have one mode. So I like Sacramento over. One worry about tonight's games is that there's a good trend. The post-All-Star break, that sure. next game, it's 58% unders the last 5 years. It kind of makes sense. You're off your rhythm.
Yep.
You haven't shot a ball in a while. You've been taking care of your family. So post-All-Star break's a little bit of a worry, but I think the Kings over makes sense.
Okay, so typically, again, you said below 35% against good teams. What's the other breakdown yeah. then? Give us when you have bad teams against bad teams, et cetera.
Yeah, so bad teams against bad teams, this is actually an undertrend the last few years, which makes sense because the algorithms that put together the total say these are very fast-paced teams. They play no defense. All right. Just like any other game, we're expecting them to go over. I actually think those are the games that a lot of coaches want to win. They want to end their losing streak. They want to kind of save face a little bit against the Wizards. So they play with a little more, you know, formal strategy, a little more half-court possessions, and those games tend to go under. And good teams versus good teams is about 50-50. But I think the real sweet spot is when you're on a very bad team that must lose, like the Bucks or the Wizards, versus a team that's just a little bit better than them. So if you're a 35% or lower team versus a team in that 40 to 60 range, that's over 60% overs the last 2 years post All-Star break. Because while other teams are working on that defensive strategy and how to slow things down and how to make sense, bad teams are kind of forcing them into a style of play where they're like, all right, I guess we'll match you possession for possession. So bad teams versus decent teams is the best over spot.
Great breakdown. Okay, so then I asked you this during the break. I'll ask you now on the air. Would a money line parlay ever be a consideration this time of year? And I'll throw two games at you tonight. Mm-hmm. The Bulls are 1-9 ATS last 10.
Yeah.
And they clearly want to, they're one of these tanking teams. They want to lose.
They got rid of everybody in the trade deadline.
Yep. And another example would be that Kings Magic game. Kings might set they might break the Pistons all time streak for most games in a row with a loss.
Yeah.
Would you think about like a Toronto and Orlando moneyline parlay, or that's not what you do?
Well, parlays, I want them to be correlated because I would make two moneyline bets. I mean, I know it saves time to do a parlay, but if it's not any particular reason why both things would happen together, I think you could do fine just isolating teams and moneyline betting against them. If there is some scenario where both teams need to lose because they're going to the same draft slot end of the year, that might make sense. But I generally don't think those type of things are correlated.
Okay. But a Magic money line in the over could be correlated to that.
Yes, because if the Kings get up, the Magic say, hey, we need more possessions. We need to even this out. And the Kings are perfectly fine to play that way. So with all the young, with the youth in that team and with the Magic of playing, that's one of my favorite plays today, which you can get if you subscribe on betterday.com. You would have already known that. You don't have to watch this segment.
Very good.
Like that plug.
How do you rank the tanking teams at the top right now that you want to track for the next 2 months?
I think the Jazz would be number one, but they're so bald-faced with it. They've gotten tagged in that kind of way. I think a team like the Pacers, where they just traded away Ben McMathurin. No one's going to say Rick Carlisle. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. No one's going to say, oh, he lost his fastball and they lose a bunch of games. So they're kind of perfectly positioned to bounce back next year with the talent they're getting back. And Zubac joining.
I was going to say, if it's 5-9, they lose the pick. Or whatever it is, 6-10. Yeah. They got to keep that pick top five.
Yep.
Right. So that gives them even more incentive. That's so I think that's a team that's going to really have the bottom drop out at the end of the season.
Okay. I also think, I mean, Washington, they're going to be, I mean, go ahead.
I mean, they traded all of their talent for two people that are not going to play. It's almost, it's a masterclass in tanking.
Yeah, yeah.
So the youth that they have has no organization. I think they go have a lot of overs and a lot of losses too.
Yeah. And now, again, Alex Saar is out tonight. I don't know how much he's going to play for the rest of the year. They might just say, screw it, everybody's going to get shut down.
And generally, when they're sitting big men, that's what the Jazz got in trouble. Jaren Jackson Jr., Lauri Markkanen, that's sitting defensive players. Like, in generally, the smaller you are, the more offensive-oriented you are. Alex Starr is a guy that can protect the rim a little bit, but he's not going to do it tonight.
Great spot, McKenzie. Thanks so much for coming in today. Good
luck
on the rest of the year. Follow him on X, at McKenzie Rivers, betterday.com. Up next, Paul's going to recap a lot of what took place last night. Win some, lose some here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Time for some best bets in soccer as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. And friend of the show, Steve Wiss, joins the program. Follow him on X at Meatman Soccer. He's with the Betting Weekly Studios and Because We Win podcast. Meatman, good to see you again. Been a good week plus as we were gone on vacation. Let's begin with what took place in the latest Arsenal match against the Wolves. My days are all mixed up. Was that yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. 2-0. We're talking 57th minute. And, of course, they're on the very top of the table.
Against a team that he thought could set the record for fewest points in a season.
Yeah. A couple things. Did you even know what the live betting was, potentially, on the Wolves to come back? It ends in a draw, so how significant do you think that could be for the future market here in the Prem?
Well, I do know someone managed to bet on Wolves Arsenal draw at 22-1 in play. I don't know exactly what minute that was. I mean, I was just telling you guys off air, I was out at a pub last night and the match wasn't even on. I was following it on my phone. But last I saw it, it was 2-0 to Arsenal. and Wolves hadn't even had a shot. And then the next update I saw was 2-2, and I couldn't believe it. Big shock. And, you know, it has blown the title race wide open, as we say over here. Now, Manchester City could well be breathing down their necks after this weekend.
Massive turn of events potentially here.
Yep. It seems it always works out for Man City, doesn't it?
Yes.
No points deduction on that. They, after all these infractions and penalties of what could happen, and immediately they handed down the punishment to these other clubs, but nothing ever happened here, and here they could sneak in and win this thing.
They could, and it's in Manchester City's hands now. It technically, if they win all their remaining matches, they will be the champions, because on the 18th of April, the two teams meet each other. It's Manchester City versus Arsenal. That's a date for your diary. That could be the decider in this championship race.
All right, let's go to Saturday morning, Aston Villa against Leeds. Why do you like Villa?
The odds. And there's a few actual... My picks this week, it's the odds that have really sort of trapped me in, if you know what I mean. Aston Villa minus 110 money line is just far too big to beat Leeds United. Leeds United have one away win all season, and that was at Wolves. So does it really count? Not really. That version of Wolves truly was horrific. Wolves are a little bit better now. But Aston Villa have a tremendous home record, won 9 out of 13 matches at home. And it's not always as simple as you look at a home record, you look at an away record. But in this instance, I just don't understand how Aston Villa can be as big as minus 110. They do have a couple of injuries. But Chelsea were minus 200 to beat Leeds at home. Newcastle were minus 175 to beat Leeds at home. Aston Villa are as good as those teams, really. If anything, only slightly worse. I make the odds, the true fair odds here, about minus 150, minus 160. So I'm truly priced in, as we say over here. Villa money line to beat a Leeds team who, away from home, just simply haven't been good enough this season.
All right, I love when you give out stuff like this. Brentford, Brighton, over 4.5 cards.
Yeah, I gave it out in the reverse fixture as well. There were 6 cards. I think I mentioned it before. There's a storyline here. It's the battle of the owners, the two owners that don't like each other, that used to be business partners. It all ended quite sourly. So we often get quite a lot of spice, quite a lot of action going on when these teams meet. So over 4.5 cards at plus 120. You might have to take over 3.5 cards with some books. That's at minus 170. That's equally as good a bet. The last two meetings between these two teams, there's been 6 cards and 7 cards, including one red. And like I say, it all stems from the owners. They don't get on with each other. You know, traditionally, when the two owners will meet up for a drink before a game and watch in the director's box, that won't happen here. Brighton's owner, Tony Bloom, has often been seen actually with the away supporters at this ground in past years. He'll mix it with his own fans.
Wow.
Because he refuses to go with Matthew Benham, who's the Brentford owner. So we're going to see some spice. By the way, Brighton do have the second most yellow cards in the Premier League this season too, so they're quite a dirty team anyway.
All right, great angle. How about sticking with Saturday, West Ham against Bournemouth? State the case for West Ham, please.
This is probably my least sort of confident play of the week, but it's a kind of a gut feeling, and I think West Ham are worth a poke on the money line plus 140. So you're getting good value. They're just in good form. They're in better form. The actual vibe and the feeling around the stadium is much better now, and they're really, really fighting hard against relegation. They're giving it absolutely everything. Bournemouth also in quite good form, unbeaten in 6 or 7 games. But they've now kind of pulled away from any relegation trouble into that mid-table vicinity. They're less threatened, whereas I think West Ham are more of a corner dog and it means more to them. So I think on the money line, I wouldn't want to stake heavily on, say, a draw no bet or anything here, because ultimately, I think West Ham actually may either win or lose the game. Either they'll be really good or really bad sort of thing. So money line play for me at plus 140. Just a small stake on that one, though.
Okay, very good. Steve Wiss, our guest here. He's on the Progressive Guest Line at MeatManSoccer on X. He's with the Betting Weekly Studios and Because We Win podcast. Okay, so the aforementioned Man City up next here, they get Newcastle. Are you expecting this one to get potentially out of hand?
Yeah, this is my best bet of the weekend, definitely. Manchester City on the Asian handicap, minus 1.25. I mean, historically, you said it there, it all seems to work out for Man City, and they are going to pounce now. They're going to put pressure on Arsenal here with, I think, a comfortable win. I'm fully expecting them to blow out Newcastle quite comfortably. Newcastle just had a really good win in the Champions League, actually, 6-1 away from home. Place called Karabag in Azerbaijan, but it's a long, long travel for them. And they play there on Wednesday, and I think they could be a bit tired. And I think Newcastle are focusing all on the cups now. I think Newcastle in the actual league cannot be relied upon. They've got a poor away record, lost 8 times away from home this season already. And they have a terrible record here at Manchester City. I'm going to read to you their last 8 results at this stadium. These are all wins for Man City. 3-1, 4-0, 2-0, 1-0, 2-0, 5-0, 2-0 and 5-0. So they rarely even score here. They usually cover the handicap Manchester City when they play Newcastle at home. And in this title race, they're not in the mood to let Arsenal off the hook now. So I really like the handicap play on Manchester City, minus 1.25. Bare minimum they should win, but I think they win by at least 2 goals, really, in all reality.
All right, and then one more on Sunday. What do you think of Sunderland against Fulham?
I was always a bit reluctant to put this one up because I never seem to get Sunderland matches right, do I? But minus 110 on Sunderland draw no bet is just, the odds are way too big. It's far too generous on a team that's only lost one match at home this season. You know, that's 13 games. If you had played the draw no bet on Sunderland in 13 matches, you'd have lost once. And that was against Liverpool. Mm. Fulham are not Liverpool. You know, I've mentioned Fulham actually maybe a bit underrated, but recently their form has not been very good. They've lost 4 of their last 5. Away from home, they've lost 8 times out of 13. So, I mean, Fulham are nearly the favourites here with some books. I do not understand that at all. So we're priced in here. It has to be Sunderland draw no bet at minus 110. In terms of raw value, probably the best bet of the weekend, but you know, it depends what style of better you are. I'm probably more confident in some other plays, but you know, Sunderland here, minus 110, strong home record, really lose here. Just, it's a no-brainer bet.
Great to talk to you, my friend. Good luck. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys. Take care. See you around soon.
All right, Steve. So Meat Man, Steve Wiss, so Meat Man Soccer on X on the Progressive Guest Line. Nigel likes Arsenal Tottenham over, by the way, on Sunday. You can read his analysis, VSiN.com. If they blow this, because you lost to the worst, they have one win, Wolverhampton, and you're up 2-0, 60th minute, as you said, and you let that get away. So now you're only 5 points up on City, and they have a game in hand. And like he said, if they win out, they get it again. I mean, that's ridiculous. 20, and then the 22-1 in play. Come on.
I don't think that would have been high enough.
Probably not, right? Because they have so many wins, 2-0
on
the season as well. Plus 32 goal differential against a minus 32 goal differential. And somehow they can't hang on up 2-0.
I'll tell you what's difficult to find here. Maybe I'm wrong on this and I'm looking down the wrong part of the menus here in Las Vegas. Like the handicap, the Asian handicap betting. Luke, if you're familiar with that here where you can find it at a book, not exactly popping off any of these screens I'm looking at. He said Man City best bet -1.25 goals.
Yeah.
You can find, obviously, 1.5. You can find alt numbers. But to find that specific number, obviously, because it's if they win by 1, you get half your bet back, that is not an easy bet to find. I don't even know. I never even know when to look at it. That you got to go down, like, 10 different paths, menus, to even try to find it. And then you're stuck there looking, wasting your time. You're like, okay, well, I give up on that one yet again. So, well, we do have some cross-sport parlays, Paulie, with the pizzeria involving Man City to come back and win this bad boy.
Yep.
So that would be nice. That is some most definite rooting interest that we have. So that now, if they win out, you can't expect that, obviously. That'd be a 12 to close the season. That's...
He's right. Support. It'll come down to the Arsenal match, though, probably, to decide it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get to our best bets coming up next in Pocket Plays here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I bet
bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1. You're on.
You know it. Did have a loser right before vacation. The great Sheffield Wednesday. They lost again, but did somehow score. Finally, they ended the drought. They had been shut out 10 games in a row. They lost 2-1 to Millwall, but they scored. I don't know how that happened. It needs to be an investigation. They're at it again the 22nd of February, and Sheffield United is $8 in that match. Portland State tonight. Let's go Vikings. 3.5 at home against Idaho. As we talked about earlier, one of the best teams in college basketball, ATS. They're at home. Better team. Already beat them on the road. Like it. This is up at several spots. So, you know, it happened. I think BYU was in the conference. But this is rare. Joe Lunardi is projecting 3 teams to make it from the West Coast Conference. As of right now in the play-in, he has Santa Clara in. A good team. And they still have a big matchup left against St. Mary's, who they already beat. But I got the angle here, little tinfoil hat. You know how these big conferences run things and the committee and the questions. And I don't think they're going to put 3 teams in from the West Coast, even though Santa Clara is going to be deserving with a good resume. The no is $1.15.
Okay.
And the no on Miami, Ohio is +320.
Oh, don't do it.
We haven't had... Like a lot of people saying the SOS is horrendous, but
is this an emotional bet for you?
Yeah, a lot of it, yeah. The lock in, yeah. Because I'm going to be pissed off if it...
Oh, yeah, right.
Sure. Now, they haven't had multi-bids from this league since 98-99. And it was Miami, Ohio with Wally Szczerbiak, and they went to the Sweet 16. But you just see it coming, that they keep winning, and they're 26-0, and they stick there. And they're still staying on the 11 line. You got 3 road games left. Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan at the bottom of the MAC, and you go to Ohio. But as Mitch said earlier, if you're 32-1, come on. Outrageous. Adjusted wins, Cavs over 52.5, Magic under 43.5, Timberwolves under 49.5. Good luck.
That gets you, Paulie. All right. New plays for me on this one. Mentioned it a couple times on the show today. It is Neat Clifford, over 18.5 PRA for the Kings. Dreadful organization.
Yep. Can't get a draft pick right.
They actually...
Oh, that's a motley crew.
How about they actually did get a couple of guys right? De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Halliburton, and they trade them both.
Yeah.
I see how they're run. I mean, it's
they were so good that year and almost beat Golden State.
Yeah. Won the division.
100-1 to win the division, something like that. And
I think higher
Fox
than that.
Fox wanted out. Okay, you're probably right. But he traded Halliburton. Oh.
Yeah. So he's gone over this number in 5 straight games. He's playing upper 30s in minutes, taking a lot of shots. They're not going down, but he also is good at grabbing 4, 5, 6 rebounds, dishing out 4-ish assists. And if he scores 10 tonight, very confident. I like the bet. So put this on the VSIN pick page bright and early this morning for the Genesis. Rory McIlroy, top 10 +150, 4 units on that. Come on, Rory. Let's have good things happen this weekend, buddy. Wes gave him out +1350 on the website to win it outright. Didn't take any of that. But top 10, like that bet. And some smaller units here on teams to make the Final Four. Virginia absolutely smoked. Oh, was it John Tech last night?
Mm-hmm.
Up by like almost 40 in that game.
Here comes Patino.
Oh, that's exactly right. So
here they go.
3 teams right now, Final Four bets. Virginia 17-1, St. John 16-1, and Arkansas +1150. Still available. Like, they're not perfect teams, you know?
Guy's incredible. You could drop him in any situation in college basketball, and he'd have you in the tournament in 2 years.
Yeah. I'll tell you not to go down that path, but 26 years ago-ish.
Oh, this is so good.
UNLV
had
him.
You got to tell the story quickly.
UNLV had him.
Good at him.
They left his wife, dropped her at the airport.
Said, no one picked her up.
No one picked her up.
Yeah,
no one picked her up.
Nope. They were going to show her around town, schools, and everything.
Nope.
They forgot to pick her up at the airport. Unbelievable.
And that kind of changed the thought on coming out here. Maybe he'd still be here. I don't know.
It's an incredible line, he said. He was on when we were doing ESPN Radio Las Vegas. He said, UNLV's a sleeping giant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bon voyage.
Anyway, that's all I have.
Okay. Okay, good. Hey, join Upside. Find the offers near you and join the 5+ million people that use it. Earn cash back. Get your earnings your way. Groceries, gas, dining. Get it. Head to your location, the local restaurants. Get your money and get your cash with stuff you're going to buy anyways. Incredible app. And drivers are earning $200 to $300 a year just from gas purchases that we're already making. It's simple. It's fast. You can cash out anytime to your bank account or e-gift cards like Amazon. Download the free Upside app now. Code NETWORK for your 25-cent per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. The app's awesome. Check it out. You'll see where you can save. Again, groceries, gas, dining, you're doing it anyways. Save now. Upside.com for details. Upside.com. Code NETWORK.
You're spot on, Paulie. You're going to be getting that stuff anyway. So why not benefit by the rewards and the savings that you're going to have? I mean, it's a very simple app to download and go and get. And bada bing, bada boom, you're going to have to get the gas once, twice a week. And there you go. Take advantage of that as much as possible.
We got UMBC's up 12 at the half.
Yeah.
Couple tweets on movies you watched the first time. Like, not bad, or okay. And then you watch it again, and you miss something, or you realize, yeah, that's surprised here. But the guy said he got a little mixed up with the going back and forth and how it was shot and out of order. Pulp Fiction, which the first time I saw, this is a classic. This is a cinema masterpiece. And one guy said Heat was surprised. But it's like that's almost 3 hours, though. And I cannot wait for Heat 2. I said Zodiac and also The Big Lebowski earlier. But Zodiac, which is leaving Netflix soon, get on that. Fincher, incredible job.
Do you think the hype for Big Lebowski over the years picked up maybe a little bit too much steam? I mean, people, you talk to people about that movie.
They do
somersaults talking about it.
Yeah, there's, they do a convention. They do like a yearly convention
a Comic-Con for its own movie.
And Bridges shows up and dresses as the dude and everything.
Yeah.
I just think it's an iconic character.
No, it's a very good movie.
Yeah.
I'm saying, but people have it as like top three of all time. I'm like, let's calm down a notch here.
No.
It's much like the movie. And again, this is maybe my most hated take from those who love the movie. Most controversial opinion about a movie. Step Brothers, not funny. Didn't like it. Try to give it a shot two or three times. I know people who think that's Will Ferrell's best movie, and one of, if not, they think it's in the conversation for best comedy of all time. It's like, okay.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But I'm just not there.
Okay.
Joe DeFan says Mayor of Kingstown, which I still haven't watched, heard from everybody that's outstanding.
Incredible start.
Oh, is that right?
Incredible.
But you didn't follow up with it?
I am not, yeah. Because I get a little frustrated when I see I'm four seasons I got to go through. And I'm 40 episodes behind, but
yeah,
it's
for sure.
A great cast, and I love Renner, and it starts off with a bang.
He says Steel on Prime, 6-episode series.
Yeah. Funny, Ozzy recommended that. Yep.
Okay.
The first episode is very good. It's the gal from Game of Thrones, Sophie Turner.
Okay.
Is the main character.
Oh, she's actually accepting roles now, huh?
Yeah.
I will say, so the Raptors Magic Moneyline Parlay tonight pays around -118, or that's what you have to lay, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to track this, Paulie. I don't know. Would you want to throw on the Cavaliers against the then it goes to like even money. But
I don't have a problem with that.
I think we need to. We'll track these for the results. I don't think I'm going to bet it, but I think we need to track it just to see how it does. And then we can obviously look at the totals as well based on our conversation a little bit earlier today with Mackenzie Rivers. But I'm intrigued. Which team would screw it up, by the way? The Bulls are 1-9 ATS last 10. Kings, as we said, absolute rock bottom here. Would the Bulls do this?
I hope not.
Raptors are.
No, they've been.
Raptors are solid, man.
Yeah, they've been a great story. But no, anyway. It is something to track, though. Like Silver, they came out today and said we're going to have measures in place next year.
Right.
So we're going to put an end to this or try to curb it. You got 9 teams that are doing this, and they started early.
Yeah. All right. I'll look at that. I'll write that down. I'll make a note of this with the numbers overall. And you know what? I'll tie in the two. And then the Cavaliers are just laying. So, I mean, my God, what are they? 15, 15 and a half?
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know if you want to get that nuts with it, but.
I like your team total angle.
Yeah, with Cavaliers. All right. That's it for us. Going to be back from vacation. If you missed any of it, again, you can catch the Follow the Money podcast wherever. Good job by the entire staff as always tonight. Good luck with the bets. Prime time next, 4 hours, take you through the live betting action tonight.